Second Kings 5, verses 1 through 14. These are God's words. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him Yahweh had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was, when Elisha the man of God heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." And now a man went with his horses and chariot, and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of Yahweh his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. And he was. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So to whom do greatness and honor belong? The king of Syria thought that Naaman was great and honorable, as we see in verse 1, but the Holy Spirit takes a chunk out of that greatness and honor. Because he says that Naaman wasn't the one who gave the victory or acquired the victory. He was just a tool. It was Yahweh who had given victory to Syria. This reminds us that we have a king on the throne of Israel who is not, seeing that the Lord is great and that greatness and honor belong to the Lord, because victory to the enemies of the people of Israel was among the covenant curses. And so we have a king in Syria who gives honor, who considers his commander, the commander of his army, to be great and honorable. They consider wealth, greatness, to be greatness and honor. Note the 10 talents of silver and the 6,000 shekels of gold and the 10 changes of clothing. And we'll consider the Lord sparing us, Lord willing, next week, what happens with those things, and this important distinction between the way Elisha sees things according to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and the way others see things. In fact, the Lord honors the servant girl as one who has confidence in the Lord and his word, even though she's been taken captive and she's a slave. And the Lord even gives to the servants of Naaman, sorry, we'll speak American when we're not reading it out of the text. The Lord gives to the servant girl, or to the servants of Naaman, the privilege of being the ones who speak some sense. In verse 13, servants come near to him and speak to him, saying, "My father, if the prophet had told you," and so forth. But it is God who is great, and it is God who is honorable. He is the one who had given victory to Syria. He is the one who would give cleansing to Naaman. But he does that not in the way that Naaman expects. He's furious that Elisha doesn't even come out to him. It's a servant who comes out to him, and he's furious that there's not some grand display. It's just some instructions about going and washing in the Jordan. These things don't seem great. But the reason is, the only one who is truly great is God. Everything else is creature by comparison to God the Creator. Everything else is an instrument. Whatever good is done, whatever power, anything, that all comes from the Lord. In fact, when the king of Syria sends Naaman to Israel, or to Samaria, which is the capital city in the northern kingdom, and the king, of course, tears his clothes. He recognizes that kings, governments, men can't heal people from disease, something we wish our own government would recognize about itself. But there being a king in Israel doesn't give you any hope. So when Elisha hears about it, he says, "Send them to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." You see, it's the word of God, and it's the Lord himself who is the great power. And we need to not just humble ourselves, but have a right and sober judgment about all men, and see that the Lord is the one who is powerful, and it's through his word especially that he works. And so the little girl didn't just say, "Send him to Israel," or "Send him to the king of Israel." Said, "If only he was with the prophet. If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria." And the word of God does indeed give the directions by which the Lord cleanses him. He goes down, he dips 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh is restored like the flesh of a little child, and he is clean. How thankful we should be that we have the word of God and the promises of God to use his word. This is what he uses to give us faith that comes by hearing the word of Christ. This is what he uses to make us holy, sanctifying us by his truth. His word is truth. This is what he uses to make us wise along the way. Wise for our justification, wise for our sanctification, wise for serving the Lord in our time in this world. Makes the word of God, as we receive it, and are not hearers only, but doers also, and we receive it with humility and meekness and confidence in God, it becomes the implanted word that is able to save our souls. It is the word that instructs us and trains us and corrects us and rebukes us, so that we may be thoroughly equipped, thoroughly supplied for every good work. And the word of God is the special way, the particular way, by which God has chosen to work in creation and in redemption. And it is not to be despised. We should consider it the great thing in our lives, because God is the one to whom all greatness belongs and to whom all honor belongs. And it is his word that he has given the privilege of being the primary instrument by which he exercises that power in our lives. So may the Spirit continue to train our hearts to give great weightiness and value to his word in our personal life, in our family life, and especially in the Lord's day, when we have that assembly that enters heaven, that is addressed by Jesus from heaven in the preaching of his word, that we would know there is a prophet in the church, this one with a capital P, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he shall ultimately heal us of all things, all physical ills, all spiritual ills, because it is that word not only by which he has brought us to faith, but by which he preserves us until we inherit the unshakable kingdom and come into his rest when we have ceased from our works in this world. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to do that. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would give us the understanding of the prophet. Indeed, as we see that you gave that understanding even to the servant girl, so that our hearts would have great confidence in your word, because our confidence is in you. Help us not to be impressed with kings and armies and battles and wealth, like we are impressed with you and your word, and especially our prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we do not have to go to Samaria, but that he who sits in his throne in heaven has come near, O Holy Spirit, by your indwelling of us and communicating to us the fellowship of the Father and of the Son. And so we thank you for your fellowship, O Holy Spirit, and we pray that we might know it and we might grow in our experience of it. Grant it, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.